Ramble.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of You Can Sit With Us. I'm one of your hosts, Becky, and I'm joined by Ariel.
Hello.
We have our computer remoted in, Margaret.
Hello.
We have our pixie, Miles. Howdy. And our pixette, Rainy, here Hello. Today. Today is a very special day because we are going to be celebrating all things Ariel.
What?
All things Ariel. You've got a birthday coming up.
Today is my birthday.
Okay, I didn't know if you wanted to.
We can talk about
it. Happy birthday.
We are recording this on my actual birthday. I was born on this day 36 years ago. I know. I thanked my mother this morning.
Oh.
Yeah, you should always thank your mother on your birthday.
Did you do that before you had children?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. On my birthday was my day. Now it is, Mom, thank you for doing everything that you have done.
Oh, yeah.
Love that.
I know.
I love that. I know. Well, Ariel, you've lived 36 years on this here planet Earth.
I have.
And we've got some questions for you.
Do you really?
Yeah.
You know, you guys could ask me questions that are like about me that are not on my birthday. You could ask me questions anytime.
Nope, just on your birthday.
Okay, well, fair enough.
Yeah. Nope, that's it. That's it. I have some questions about your childhood.
Uh-huh.
And I'm curious, Maggie, too, if you want to jump in and let us also know about your childhood.
All right.
Who were your heroes when you were little, and how do they compare to your heroes today?
That might take me a second. I don't actually remember who my heroes were. I remember my heroes being people that I knew, you know, like people that they weren't, you know, actresses or anything like that. It was like somebody in my life was, you know, kind of like my grandmother, I think, you know, she, I would always hear stories about things that she did or something like that.
But no celebs, no like,
no. Maybe like people who traveled a lot.
Amelia Earhart.
Yeah. I mean, there's always Amelia Earhart. Actually, I had a close family friend who went on a voyage to go find Amelia Earhart's plane.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I know.
Did they find it?
I don't think so.
Have we found her?
No, it turned out, I think it just turned out to be a party on a boat in like the middle of nowhere.
Okay.
But yeah.
They search by boat? That doesn't seem very
effective.
Like, I feel like you're not covering a lot of ground.
You know? I don't actually, I mean, how would you find, they like, you know, triangulate where she went down and, but apparently she went down in like the, I'm speaking out of my booty hole again. But I thought like there's all these things that talk about how she went down the Bermuda Triangle where things get a little squirrely around there anyway, you know? So like nobody actually knows where her plane went down. And so, yeah, so people will go down there and just kind of look around.
Just kind of peek.
Mm-hmm.
Take a little
deep sea dive.
But, you know, I mean, we've all seen Lost. Squirrely stuff happens. In the
Don't even get me started. Nobody's flashing sideways here, Ariel. And so, you had, you know, your grandmother you mentioned was your hero when you were little.
Yeah.
I assume she is still your hero. But do you have other heroes now that you are 36?
Yes. Yes and no. I don't know. I feel like when you say a hero, it's like, you know, sort of like an idol, like somebody that you idolize.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have heroes? Who are some of your heroes?
I'm asking the questions here.
I know, but
I'm trying to
think to myself, like, maybe some of your heroes are my heroes.
What's
too.
The thing from The Sandlot? Heroes, something live forever, legends never die, or something like that.
The only person that comes to mind when I was a child, I wanted to be Eliza Thornberry. I thought that she was so cool. She could talk to animals. She got to travel the world with her family, her mom, her dad, Nigel. In my current day and age, no, Eliza Thornberry is not my hero per se, because then I just realized the cartoons weren't real, which was really sad. Oh. A sad time in my life.
Well, but... spoiler alert.
I also remember having a crush on Danny Phantom.
Oh yeah, cartoon crushes, very real.
Cartoon crush, yep.
And
yep,
so
yep,
now yep. In your late 20s, because that's where you're at, how has that changed from your teens into now your late? You know, there's always that time when we move from early and mid to late.
I would say my heroes would be an actual physical person, human being.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Step one.
step one. Yeah.
Growth.
And I think it's usually people that are like well known. Like the first person that came to mind when you asked the question, like AOC speaking so outwardly on topics that are affecting the whole world in the United States. And I think she's awesome.
So Danny Phantom was your childhood crush. Any other childhood crushes? And same goes for Ariel. They could be, you know, cartoons or not.
Dimitri from Anastasia.
Oh.
Oh.
Anybody else?
Hot.
Yeah.
Hot, for sure.
He was good. Yeah.
10 out of 10 would bang.
I also loved Aladdin. Come on.
I mean, really? You saw his nipples.
Yeah, I don't know.
saw his nipples.
The vest with no shirt look didn't really do it for me.
But what about when Pete Davidson wore it?
Prince Charles? Hello?
Prince Charles? What? Not Prince William?
Prince Eric. I'm so sorry. I'm like...
Prince Charles? The aged monarch of England?
We're like... what?
Prince Eric from Ariel.
You know, Prince Eric, he never really did it for me. Prince Eric, I don't know. I think it was the pantaloons, like with the short, with the, you know, and I don't know. I never really believed his story. I was like, he
fell in love with someone he had never spoken to. Well, I mean, yeah, red flag.
Yeah. And then, you know, one of his like aides. So I actually watched The Little Mermaid last night, you guys. So I am I am up on the on the Little Mermaid story. But there was like he like dated Ariel for a couple of days because she had 3 days to get him to kiss her.
Yeah, and so without saying a single word.
So he dated her for like 3 days, and on the like evening of the second day, one of his like aides comes over and was like, you know, like bird in the hand is better than a bird in the bush or whatever it is, you know, basically saying like she's here now and she's. Seems great, even though she can't talk. And he's like, you're right. I'm going to marry her. And then he sees Ursula walking on the beach. And he's like, oh, no, there she is. And then immediately decides that he wants to marry her instead of Ariel. It's very interesting. But I found it fascinating.
I feel like I need to rewatch.
Yeah, actually, when you said that, I was like, I've seen The Little Mermaid.
Yeah, I'm like, I know that Ursula wasn't physically walking on a beach. Didn't she just like steal her voice, but she was walking, right?
Yes.
Is that how it happened?
Yes, or exactly. Well, Ursula was physically, so Ursula turned into Vanessa. Didn't she get Hattie?
Yeah.
She turned into Vanessa. And so she was walking on the beach with Ariel's voice and, Eric was in love with Ariel's voice because he remembered hearing that when he was rescued from his shipwreck.
That's right.
Yeah.
But so he has no loyalty.
No loyalty.
It's really a cautionary tale.
Yeah, none whatsoever. And he's a really lucky guy. Like he was probably in 3 shipwrecks throughout the whole movie, and he survived every single one of them. Like ended up on the same beach in front of his castle.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy considering Anna and Elsa's parents died after one little shift.
Right?
It's like, come on.
Not fair.
Okay, and so who are your present day crushes, be it fictional or real? In the sense of like, yeah, yes, everyone's in a happily committed relationship. But like we can all acknowledge.
Right, like who's,
you know.
What's that term where you have like the...
Hall pass. Yeah, like who would be your like hall pass person?
It's changed.
Yeah. Do you think it's changed with age?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Like as they age as well.
Some of them are. Are they aging up or aging out? Like, are you like, oh, I don't know. You're too old now.
Yeah, it was never Leo. It's never Leo.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Margaret?
Zach and I had this conversation. We have this conversation very often with like other friends. It's very funny. But we don't call them hall passes because I don't know. I can't just like, I don't know. I've never just like physically looked at someone and be like, yeah, I want to have sex with you. So we just say, who do you have the okay to give like a little kiss?
Yeah, a little smoochy smooch. A little smoochy smooch.
A little kiss. Like, Zach's hall pass, not hall pass, but his little pass. Is Natalie Portman. I'm like, absolutely. If Natalie Portman came up to you, Zach, yeah, and was like, can I have one little kiss? I'm like, she's beautiful. She's smart. She's talented.
Yeah.
I would be so happy for us.
I also feel like every white man between the ages of like right now, 30 and probably 43, mm-hmm, Natalie Portman is their hall pass.
Absolutely.
Because their like youth was shaped by her, like in Star Wars, in what was the other one?
Garden State.
She was that sort of like manic pixie dream girl thing.
Totally.
That people, you know, written for the male gaze or whatnot.
Yeah.
But same. Yeah.
Yeah.
I see it. What about you, Ariel?
I feel like about 10 years ago, I was really into Elijah Wood.
Oh,
yeah, I know. You guys, I have some surprising taste.
That's cute.
In men. Cute. Yeah.
Well, he was Frodo.
Exactly.
And you do love those fantasy stories.
I do. I love fantasy stories.
Maybe that's why you don't like Prince Eric, because you're not really into like pirate smut.
That's true.
But give me a little elf smut.
Yeah.
Or like,
yeah. Totally.
Like fairy smut.
Yeah. I do love that stuff. Love, love, love. You know, sort of like King Arthur story. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was definitely Elijah Wood, but I haven't seen him around a lot. He hasn't been in a whole lot of stuff, so I haven't really been getting my fix. So I feel like, who's the Australian guy?
Well, you love a Hemsworth.
Yes, I love all the Hemsworths. There's just something about just a big beefy guy that, I'll just line them up.
Yeah.
But I really like funny guys. Yeah. So like Andy Samberg.
Oh yeah. Love that journey.
But so there's not like
do
one.
Do you look back on your like childhood crushes and go like, oh my God, what was I thinking? Or are you like, I can understand. Like I can look back at Danny Phantom and be like, yeah. Uh-huh. He was a little hot cartoon.
Definitely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. He with like silver hair.
And yeah. You're like, oh, he's cute. Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely always sort of lusted after the funny guys.
Okay.
Yeah. Even in college, it was like the guys who were in the improv groups and stuff. Yeah. I was like, oof.
They got those SNL points.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like the real people that I went to college with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But like I call them SNL points as like funny points.
Yeah.
You get extra points for being funny.
My first boyfriend, why were we girlfriend and boyfriend? It was sixth grade.
Okay.
Sixth grade. So, middle school, of course. And, I believe it had most to do with proximity. Just the fact that, like, my friend Carol was dating his best friend. And so we hung Carol. Out a lot, and we would sit next to each other a lot just because of that. And then it was like, oh, hey, let's be girlfriend and boyfriend. I think that's just how it worked. You know, there was, I really don't remember any like super strong feelings. Okay. I just remember being like, we are of the age where we should be dating now, right?
Yeah. Did you smoochy smooch?
I believe it was like this. That was it. I didn't even French kiss anybody until like eighth or ninth grade. Wow. Mm-hmm. I know. I was like, nice. You were physically scared. I was physically scared.
You're taking your time. Maybe you had braces.
No braces. You
know? Yeah.
You haven't had braces
no
ever?
No braces, no glasses.
Lucky. Just give us a smile. Look at those teeth. I didn't know you never had braces.
I had Invisalign a couple years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You guys remember that.
Okay.
But yeah, no.
But barely, because it was.
But yeah, you only had them for a little while. Yeah, like 6 months. Jesus, look at those beautiful chompers. Wow.
My sister didn't need braces either. Weird.
Oh, blessed.
Those Vanderborts.
I don't know. It's the Norwegian genes. You know, makes us tall. Strong teeth.
Maggie, what was your first, like, did you have an aha moment with like a childhood boyfriend, or like was your first boyfriend like that was the one?
I didn't have a boyfriend until high school. I remember having crushes, and it was probably along the same lines. Like, I always fell in line with the rest of the girls in my class with the it boy, because I was always awkwardly taller than everybody else. I had a growth spurt, and I towered over all the boys in my class. So boys didn't really like me. I was kind of just too tall and lanky. And
It's so funny to like say that as a bad thing, you know, like now as adults.
I know.
Like, oh, I'm just too tall and lanky.
I remember being so ashamed of how tall I grew in a specific period of time. And now I wish I had grown even taller. I just want to tower over people. I think it's so fun. I wish I was taller. But my first boyfriend in high school, I don't know. I went to an all-girls school, so it was kind of like whoever was in your inner circle. It wasn't like...
It's proximity, right?
Proximity.
But yeah, if you went to an all-girls school, how did you meet your first boyfriend?
There were like little mixers and stuff like that. And like whoever went to the middle school before would introduce you to their like childhood friends. And like it was just kind of proximity. Also, I did swim and water polo, so we would practice at their pool. So you'd kind of like make eyes with the... men's water polo team.
In your swimsuits?
That is... In your one piece swimsuit with your circle tan.
That like goes all the way up to your neck.
Sexual tension was super high. Whoa. In the one piece. And your swim cap.
Ooh, yeah. Shoot. That's hot.
That's so funny. I played sports. Mm-hmm. I think I did just like soccer and... just the usual field hockey. But then when I got to high school, I did rowing. And that is where you meet all of the cute guys.
Whoa.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The rowing, like the other rowing team. Mm.
How do you meet the other people on the rowing team? Because aren't they on a different boat?
Yeah, but you know, you gotta work out together.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, and like we would share a boathouse with some of the other schools.
Whoa.
Yeah. I know. So they'd be like carrying their boats and we'd be carrying ours. And I don't know, I might accidentally run into them or like, I don't know, maybe like you would like see each other on the erg or something like that. Cause you like line up and do the ergs and things. I know. Becky, you're looking at me like this is things you've never heard of before.
Well, you know, in southwest suburbs of Illinois, we didn't have a lot of rowing team at my publicly funded high school. There were no rowers. I don't even think I knew that rowing was an activity until I saw the Facebook movie.
Really?
I was like, the Winklevoss twins, they're rowers. So I assumed if you went to Harvard, you had a row team.
I did not go to Harvard. I did not row in college.
I'm out of here. You know who else didn't row in college?
Who?
You guys, very famously. It's in the media.
Yeah, it's the whole college tuition scandal.
Olivia James. Oh, right. She was on the wrong team. Got it. Right.
All right, guys. All right.
Back to childhood crushes. Ariel, tell us about your first boyfriend.
My first boyfriend in sixth grade.
No, let's go to like your first real boyfriend. Like how back in your day. Because Ariel, I think we made this realization the other day. Maggie and I would have not been in high school with you.
We would
have never overlapped educationally.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys think we would have been friends? If like we were all in a class together in like junior year of high school, do you think that we would, you know, be like, oh, I want you to be my lab partner? Or,
oh, I would definitely try and be lab partners with both of you because like I was not a school baby. I liked extracurricular activities. So I would find those smart girls ASAP. I'd be like, let's be BFFs. Thank you for joining my remedial math class. Yes, I do need help with this. I would for sure try and be your friend.
Oh, I'm trying to remember what it was like making friends in school.
Now, I feel like we would have run in very different circles, though, because you were both very sports oriented.
What sports did you play?
I wasn't super sporty. I only played that swim and water polo, but yeah.
I wouldn't consider myself super sporty.
I mean, there was definitely, my whole high school wasn't a sports heavy campus, but there was definitely a co-ed school down the street that was like super sports heavy. We were playing in a league that we had no business being in just because we were an all-girls school. But I don't consider myself a sporty person, even now.
Even when you were swimming, water polo takes so much like athletic ability.
I mostly got dragged into playing water polo. One, because my best friend Samra played and she wanted to play with me. But in order to be eligible to play or swim on the varsity team, which we didn't have a lot of sports teams at my school, I had to play water polo to stay in swim shape. And I ultimately liked swimming. It was like an individual sport. It wasn't like a football team oriented jock sport, but it was really fun and relaxing and I liked it.
Huh. Yeah.
I've always been into team sports. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. There's something very, motivational about like not letting your team down, you know,
like a community aspect.
Yeah. Yeah. That was one of the fun things. Yeah, totally.
So you did soccer, you did.
Yeah. Soccer, the rowing, horseback riding.
Respect riding.
I know. I was such a like private school kid. Yeah, I did.
I was like, wow, my school had one of those things.
Yeah. I did, but horseback riding. So I mean.
So wait, did your school have horses?
No. My school did not have horses.
I was like, your school had boats and horses.
No. So
we didn't even get to have like puppies on campus.
So what? Okay. So I went to elementary school and middle school in Texas.
Yeah.
Where everything's bigger. Mm-hmm. And my school did not have horseback riding. I did that on the weekends where I did competitive horseback riding. I got into that when I was about 8 years old, where I went to like a party that somebody had where they had ponies and
I know. Casual.
Texas, it was like, pony rides.
Yeah.
And,
probably had, like, and ranches so, and stuff.
Yeah. And so we went to this stable that was like in Houston proper.
Okay.
And I was smitten. I just fell in love with it. And I asked my mom if we could go back and I got lessons. And then I would spend the entire weekend there, like a full 30 hours at the barn, because basically they had this thing where, if you like worked, at the barn and sort of, you know, did the pony rides and that sort of thing, because, you know, somebody had to like pull the ponies around, then you could ride for free. So I would be like mucking stalls, feeding horses, watering horses, pulling them in from the outside pastures. And then, you know, doing these pony rides that they would have every Saturday and Sunday, they would have pony parties. And I would be, you know, like putting little kids on the horses and leading them around. And then after the pony parties were over, then me and all of my friends who were doing these pony parties, we would just run amok, and we would like saddle up our horses and we would go jumping and we would race and we would, you know, we would just
like drag racing but with horses.
Yeah.
One of you would stand in the middle and wave a flag and be like, oh,
we would have so much fun, like so much fun. Sometimes we would do like almost like circus trick type stuff where we would try to reach down and like grab something on the, you know, because there were a couple of people who were really, really good. It was probably very dangerous. There were times when
like something out of a movie.
It was super duper fun. It was that I remember that being some of the like wildest, you know, because like it's like dangerous, but it's also just you're just a kid. I was probably 13. I was like a preteen, and you know, just riding horses. And. And I had, you know, like this group of friends, and you're dirty and you're like sweaty because it's Texas. And yeah, it was just really fun. And then my parents would pick me up at like 6 p.m. and, you know, I would just be exhausted and just having the time of my life. Mm-hmm. And so when we moved to London for when I was in high school, we did not ride there because it's in the middle of the city and there just wasn't really any facility. And so I joined the rowing team because my art history teacher was the rowing team coach, and I was the new girl. But I went to a school where like probably 20% of my class of 100 was new because you know, everybody's traveling, and it was an international school. And so she was like trying to kind of help me out, get me like involved in something. And she was like, you should try rowing. And I was like, yeah, okay, I'll try rowing. It turned out I was really good at it. And I think just being tall, you know.
Yeah, and strong.
Yeah, strong. And then I loved it. And I rowed, and then I went to college, and I flipped again. My college in Minnesota did not have a rowing team. Oh. And so...
Makes sense.
But
Minnesota.
They did have a riding team. So I went back to riding. Mm. And I did jumper seats, which is basically where you try to jump the highest jumps as quickly as you can.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. Super fun, super dangerous.
So you look back on those years for both of you, like, do you look, I know Maggie, you do tennis now, is your sport of choice. Do you look back on water polo and like miss being in the water, or are you like, I'm a tennis baby now? And for Ariel, do you look back on like rowing or horseback riding and say like, oh, I wish I could still be doing that now? Or do you think you've physically outgrown those things?
Oh no, I'll go back to horseback riding. I did it as an adult too. I had to stop because when I got pregnant.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Probably can't ride horses with babies.
No, you can't.
I still default to swimming. I don't think I would play water polo again just because it's a very physical sport and I did get hurt a lot, but I could swim pretty fast. So I did enjoy that part. But, I do sometimes after work to wait out traffic, we'll go swim laps at the pool near where I work and I really enjoy it. But yeah. And then tennis, I'm still like learning actively. So it's been really fun to pick up a new hobby. So yeah.
Yeah. And new sport. Do you think it's harder to learn? Like, I feel like they always say like learning a language when you're older is a lot harder because your brain's like can't process things the way that it did when I was little. Do you think that like sports are the same way, or hobbies, not just sports? I don't I keep saying sports. Hobbies in general are harder to pick up as an adult.
I do wonder.
I picked up skiing like the last year. I went skiing for the first time, and I think the hardest part is just seeing people younger than you or close to your age or a little older than you that are just so much more skilled. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of the harder part in comparison, but I still had a blast and I thought I was going like 80 miles per hour. And then Zach shows me back the videos and I'm like, I look like a little baby deer on the mountain. I was like, oh man, I thought I was going so fast. I was crushing it.
X Games in my head.
I feel like we need to get Becky to ski.
No.
Never?
No. See how all the sports questions are directed at you guys?
I think you really like it.
What about the après part?
I know you do.
You taught me that.
The après.
The après part would be my thing. But guys,
no, we're not. No,
enough about sports. I have another question for the birthday girl.
Okay.
And also Maggie, who's had a birth. So I think for me, when I turned 29 was a very freaky birthday because I was like, I'm going to be 30 next year. Like, right. I literally couldn't focus on being 29. So So I don't know, Maggie, if you've had that experience as a 29-year-old. And then Ariel.
I don't even remember.
You've
29.
Gone from early to mid to mid to late. And expand upon that, how that feels. We could go in whatever order.
Let's do Maggie first.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize it was going to be my last birthday in my 20s, probably until like 2 weeks before this upcoming birthday. And I'm excited. I was nervous about it, but I think my 30s has a lot of exciting things in store. And I'm happy to be approaching next year and closing that book. But I was feeling a little conflicted, but I think I'm going to make peace with it because, like, 30s is the new 20s, baby.
It is.
Of course. And what are you looking forward to the most in your, you know, we turn 21, you get, you know, legally allowed to drink alcohol. 18, you can buy cigarettes. Don't buy cigarettes. You can buy scratcher cards.
25, you can rent a car.
I felt like there wasn't anything we could get. You know what I mean? Like there was no public milestone you
That's
can do.
True. It's just in your 30s.
Yeah. And then so once you hit 30, do you think there are any of those like milestones? Any big things that you're like, I'll be 30 soon, and then I'll be able to
blank.
Or I guess what was your image when you were younger of, you know, were you a 30 flirty and thriving kind of gal? Did you think about your 30s or were you like,
absolutely not,
live in the moment? I am in my 20s.
When I was younger, like people 25 and older, 25, 40, 50, they were all the same age in my brain. So I didn't really think about it. I didn't really think about it that much, but like to think I'm still relevant and cool. I'm going to be relevant and cool my whole life.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Ariel, did you think about your 30s at all when you were little? I feel like you're a very philosophical child.
I probably was a philosophical
while you were doing your witchcraft.
Yeah, definitely did some. When Eugene was talking about how he read all those books about astrology, I feel like that was me with like witchcraft books. You know, I remember. Did you guys ever? Okay, so there was this Half Price bookstore in my neighborhood in Texas, and I could walk to it. And so I would walk there with my friends and we would just sort of wander. And, you know, the books were super cheap. They were like used. And
they were half price books.
They were half price books. They were great. And they had an entire section that was like astrology, witchcraft, you know, like like all sorts of sort of spiritual type of things. And I remember getting into the sort of spell books almost, you know, and they weren't really, they weren't like, you know, the leather covered spell books that you see in movies and things.
I'm imagining Hocus Pocus.
No, with like an eyeball on it or something. They were just like, you know, like little things like, okay, take a photograph of somebody and like write an affirmation on the back and then put it under your pillow or burn it or, you know, something like that. Like something sort of, ceremonial, but that also means something. And so, yeah, I always got into that sort of thing. Tie a string around something that you want to like bind. You guys never got into like sort of witchery or...
I liked magic tricks. There was a magic shop in my neighborhood, but I never delved into witchcraft. I liked little silly games and playing tricks on people.
It all just sort of made sense to me, you know, just sort of the, like putting your feet, like putting your feelings into an item or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know how, like a lot of times, in movies and things, they'll be like, okay, you need like a piece of their hair or you need a, you know, this or that. Mm-hmm. And it's just sort of their, like, it's like a token of like their person, and then you know, put it together with something else, and it's just like you take your feelings and you put it into this thing, and then, you know, like you burn it so it you let it go, or you know, put it under, you bury it in the ground, or you put it under your pillow, or you know, write your affirmation on it or something. Just spoke to me.
Love that. Love that journey for baby Ariel. And while baby Ariel was doing those spells, did you ever think about your 30s? Do you think that you would be where you are right now, like two kids, husband? Was that always like in your like life game plan, or were there deviations?
You know, I always had this this crazy sense of like wanderlust where I just wanted to travel. I wanted to be a foreign exchange student for a while.
As a career?
No, just like I just wanted to get out. And I wanted to, you know, sort of, there was a period of time where I wanted to live on a boat. And just like live on a
Maggie's
boat.
Like my nightmare. I know, right? Maggie's like, I would not live there. I would swim home.
I would swim home. Seasickness.
I looked into being, you know, like a horseback riding guide in like Egypt and, just different places like that. I just wanted to like, you know, live this sort of, nomadic lifestyle for a while. I don't know. And I feel like that's sort of who I was from an early age. And so when we got the chance to live as expats in London, that sort of like fulfilled this need that I had to travel. And, you know, I think I got it from my dad, and cause he wanted to do the same thing. He wanted to live abroad and, yeah. And so that was sort of a big thing for us. And then after, high school, I was like, no, I'm not ready to settle down and go to college yet. So I took a gap year, and like delayed college. But I don't think during all this time, I never thought about my 30s. I thought that I would be living this like nomadic lifestyle forever, you know?
Yeah.
Or like that I was also very romantic. I had this, I had this crazy sense of, you know, like, if I am out there and like my energy is out in the world, like that there is the perfect person for me somewhere and he will find me or we will find each other, you know, and like, I don't know. I would listen to songs where, you know, the person would be walking down the street in Ibiza or something like that. And you know, the ones in Ibiza are literally nuts, but, you know,
classic
like
romantic Mike Posner song.
You know, but yeah, I just had this dream that I would meet somebody. And so on my gap year, I remember, I made friends and I remember thinking to myself, like, is this my person? Like, is this the one? And it wasn't. But yeah.
Now.
But I did have a very sexy fling over my gap year, which was hot. Yeah, it was hot. I still in London.
Hot.
Yeah. London. I still think back on that and I'm like, yeah.
Your styles.
That was like one of the best kisses I've ever had. Do you guys want to hear the story of this amazing kiss?
I mean, you can't lead it up and then leave us hanging.
Okay, so it was a guy that I knew from high school. So we went to high school together, but we had never dated. But then over my gap year, I came back to London for a little while, and so I was like with my parents. I think it was like over Christmas time, and we got together. And started this relationship.
Torrid affair.
It was a torrid affair. It was a torrid affair. I was, I think I was interning at like this art gallery.
Hot.
And it was like this really cool posting. So I felt really, really awesome about myself. And, there was one, we were like walking around a park one day and, then I had to say goodbye and we hadn't like kissed yet. We hadn't like, we were still hanging out as friends. But it was like very clear that something was going to happen. And so when we were, and like you walk everywhere. And so I was like, okay, bye, hug, you know, like held a little bit tighter than you normally would hold a hug with like a friend. And then turned away. I put in my earbuds, because you know, that was the emo kid that I was. I put in my earbuds, to go walk home, and, somebody grabs my hand, pulls me around and like immediately just this like very torrid kiss.
It's a big wet one.
And then we look at each other and then we were like, okay, bye. And then walked away. And I was just like, what just happened?
Wow.
Yeah.
Whoa.
We won't tell Ned. We promise.
Oh, I think he knows. I think he knows.
Somewhere deep down, he knows.
Yeah. just this very exciting kiss that still thinking about it gives me butterflies.
Wow.
I know. Do you guys have anything like that? No?
think so. I didn't have many like torrid affairs. Keith was my
I remember my first kiss being
affair.
Like a lot of teeth.
A lot of teeth.
Yeah. It was not. No.
Not
probably
a,
on
not
both
a
sides.
Memorable.
Probably on both sides. Yeah.
Where was it?
I think it was after a movie. It was like a movie theater shopping center. And my dad was picking me up.
And then hot.
The person was like, okay, bye. Teeth.
teeth
attack.
Did you have braces?
Probably. Yeah, probably. I had braces for a long time. A really long time. I had headgear too. So not hot.
That's why you have such perfect teeth.
Yeah. Were you boyfriend, girlfriend after that? Did he smooch and run?
No, I think we like went on a couple dates, but it wasn't like more than a month or two. I can't really remember. Not a significant one.
Not memorable.
Hot. So hot.
Okay, so because it is my birthday today, I had my parents send some voice memos of maybe memories of me as a kid. I told them like a memory as a kid and maybe one as a teenager because I was a pretty, I was a teenager. You know, like fights with my parents all the time, that sort of thing. Okay, so let's see. I'm just going to press the first one and assume that it's childhood.
Hopefully. Yeah?
Okay.
Hopefully it's child safe.
Yeah. Let's see. Should I listen to it first?
Just no.
Oh, you think I should just let it play? Okay. Where's the speaker? There it is. Okay.
Raw reaction.
When Ariel was about 6 years old, she started to show herself as a great planner. She would always make sure that she had a fanny pack full of nuts and bars and fruit roll-ups. Anytime she made a trip outside of the house, she was always, I guess, worried that she really didn't know where her next meal was coming from. So she needed to have that security of having her next meal with her. She also liked to orchestrate any trips we made, what was called outside of the loop. We lived in Houston, and there was a ring road very close to our house, and Ariel had a policy that if we were going outside the loop, then we had to have the television with the VCR in the car so that she could make sure that she and her sister could watch movies. Now, it might only be a 5-minute trip, but if it was outside the loop,
had to have the TV.
The movie VCR was absolutely required. She was a lot of fun and never actually had to use her meal reserve. We always managed to feed her somehow.
Can we get your dad his own podcast? Yeah. He has the
incredible,
beautiful voice. Are we listening to NPR? Like, I know the story was about a fanny pack, but his voice. I've heard him speak before. Like,
my dad was in a barbershop quartet like throughout his 20s.
My God, he should be doing our ad reads.
I know. He's so good.
Ariel gets it from somewhere. Now we know.
Now we know where that naturally like gorgeous voice comes from.
Oh, wow, guys.
Yeah. Beautiful.
But can we talk about snacks?
Snacks. I mean, you're still snack queen.
I am a snack queen.
You're number one snack queen.
I always have snacks.
Snack.
I have a snack here. I have snacks in my bag. I always have snacks for Ned. I always have snacks for Wes.
Yep.
I've always got snacks.
You're snack mom.
No, it's a great quality to have. I'm always terrified of, like, on a road trip or on a plane.
Uh-huh.
You never. Yeah. Those are pretty much the only places I bring, like, an unnecessarily large amount of different snacks.
Mm-hmm.
But I appreciate childhood Ariel.
Same. I would have been friends with childhood Ariel because I was like always hungry. Not girl, in like a scary way. Like I would just have a big appetite.
So like the 6-year-old wearing a fanny pack full of fruit roll-ups, you would best be friends with that person?
Oh, I would still be. Absolutely. I mean, I still, if I'm hungry, find Ariel. I'm like, where are the goldfish?
Girl, I know you know where they are.
I know they're in there somewhere. Yeah, give me the gotta groceries. Be friends with snack girls.
So funny.
Snack girls, you know what's
Do you guys up. Not carry snacks? Like, that's such a natural thing for me.
I have zero snacks in my... And this,
no snacks.
This here tote bag has no snacks.
Oh, my gosh. Not Should I count how many snacks I have in my bag right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you guys
want
to know? Absolutely. Okay, let's see. I have two bags.
See, but I think I don't carry snacks because I can't... I, like, don't have a lot of self-control. So, like, we don't have chips in the house because I would eat the whole bag of chips one sitting. Mm. No problem.
Raisins.
Yeah. Raisins. Love yeah, that. Like, raisins. Love that journey.
Fiber and protein bar.
This is a children's bar.
Well, okay. Kids need fiber.
Happy Tot.
How do they taste?
Those fiber bars taste awful.
Oh.
Yeah. Now Finn just sucks on them. I think that's all I have. I don't think I have any any like adult food.
That makes sense. We'll do another what's in my snack bag. You know, when you've restacked.
Candy.
Hell yeah.
Candy.
I have little gummy spiders. All right. There is another one. Do you guys want to hear it?
Yeah. Give it to us, yeah. Mama.
Okay.
When Ariel was in her mid-teens, she started to emerge as an adventurer.
Audiobooks!
As soon as she turned 15, she insisted that she get... to take driver's education so that she could get her driver's license the day that she turned 16, which I'm pretty sure is what she finally did. She also was really pushing to become an exchange student. She wanted to get out into the world. When we moved to London when she was 16, that kind of satisfied her need for adventure for a couple of years. But then... she decided to take a gap year from college and first headed to Costa Rica for 2 or 3 months. And then later in the year, she headed off to Chile. And then the same year, she also spent a couple of months living in Florence and then living in Paris. So Ariel's taste for adventure started at an early age and has never abated.
Oh.
It's like a fucking audio.
I know. It's so good.
I literally can't. Maybe I'm biased because I'm listening to a horrible audiobook right now. Like, the woman is, and if you listen to A Court of Thorn and Roses, that woman's voice is so wrong for the book.
Oh.
I would literally listen to your dad read that book to me, even the parts that are weirdly sexy. Like, his voice is made for audiobooks.
It's a great voice.
Wow. He has such a good voice. Yeah. He's gifted. That man is gifted on it. I mean, it was so even keeled. It was like, even like the way it started sounded like the beginning of a book chapter. When Ariel was a child, like, it literally sounded like a book, like the book of your life, narrated by your dad. I know I was supposed to be listening to the adventure side. Ariel is adventurous, but we got to get back to your dad. He needs to make some side money. I think he would be an excellent voiceover actor.
He would be an excellent, or like an audiobook reader.
Audiobook reader.
Yeah.
I have a couple suggestions of books he could re-release, kind of like Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift. She could do a... You do, what's your dad's name?
Mark.
Do a Mark, the Mark version?
The Mark version.
Mark's version. I mean, just honestly, gorgeous voice.
Yeah. I guess I've always taken it for granted.
So Ariel, aside from your father's beautiful voice, I want to know, in this new year, this 36 feeling betwixt, how... Mm-hmm. What are you looking forward to? Like, what do you think 36 is going to bring? What are you manifesting for 36?
Yeah, you know, 36 feels very not that, like, 36 doesn't mean anything to me.
Okay.
You know, 36 is 36. It's like, you're not, there's no, nothing that in my life that happens at 36, you know? But one thing that I'm trying to do is to focus more on myself. Like, we're going out for a birthday tonight, and I swear Becky texted and was like, I think this is the first time we've ever just celebrated you.
I've literally never known what Ariel's birthday is. I know around the time when it is, but Ariel has never once texted to be like, hey, it's my birthday, we're gonna go do this, or I'm having a birthday party, or we're gonna do a birthday dinner. Ariel is the queen of my birthday is non-existent. I'll tell you about it 3 weeks later.
Uh-huh.
She'll be like, oh yeah, for my birthday, we went out to dinner. And everyone's like,
what happened?
When was that? Yeah, I loved getting that text that was like, we're going out to celebrate Ariel's birthday. I was like, hell yeah.
I don't know.
Ariel. Let's do it.
I love celebrating other people. I love giving other people gifts. And if it feels a little uncomfortable to like receive gifts first, I don't know that I've always sort of been like, I don't know what to say. You know, mm-hmm. I always feel a little bit like, oh, thank you so much. Like, that's so nice of you. Like,
You nailed it.
But, I am trying really hard to just like be like, yeah, I'm 36. I do deserve to be celebrated.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like,
hell yeah.
Who gives a, this is my birthday.
Yeah.
And I have all these other things that I do and that I care about, mm-hmm. but you know what? Care about me too.
That's amazing. This will be the year of Ariel.
Oh, yes.
Ariel. Thanks, being guys. Ariel.
Wow.
Ariel, we're going to do everything to celebrate all things you, and we hope our listeners celebrate all things Ariel.
This is feeling a little uncomfortable, you guys.
You got to listen to it, Ariel. You got to do it. Otherwise, we're going to give you 36 like little punches on the arm or something.
Yeah. It actually still feels uncomfortable to celebrate myself. Isn't that strange? Especially coming from me, who like, I am not one to like shy away from talking about myself. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's just a different, you know, a different way to talk about yourself or feel about yourself, I think. Mm-hmm. And you're our hot mama, and you're so much more than our hot mama.
Yeah. So and you deserve to be celebrated all year.
Hell yeah. So everybody in the comments, sound off. Tell us what you love about Ariel.
Oh my gosh, don't do that.
For her birthday. And, you know, we'll see you guys next time. Make sure you're liking and subscribing and following everywhere you can follow. We've got some new merch over at tryguys.com.
Woot, woot.
So make sure if you're, like, taking any pictures with your phone cases or your buttons or your stickers to tag us in your pictures because mm-hmm. we'll love mm-hmm. to see it.
Woo. Mm-hmm.
We'll see you guys next time.
Bye.